sounds so good. She's like, hi. I hope you're ready to write down scripture, because we're going to be speaking right from scripture today. I must confess that I am absolutely terrified, a little bit nervous, and that's not like me, because usually my background and the things I've done, but
get over yourself.
Get over myself. Well, I'll be honest with you, I will confess that. I will absolutely repent that, because when I first started to put this message together, it was actually in October. That's how long,
wow.
You know, that's how long it takes me. God bless the pastors who come up with one every week. I don't know how they do it. You know, I've been working on this since October. And there was lying in a hospital bed with a broken leg trying to recover, and the Lord just kept coming and pouring more and more into me. He made it so that, you know, we could do these things without even asking. Just an awesome God, isn't he? And about maybe a month ago, a little less than 3 weeks ago, I posted it on Facebook, and I'm asking as many people as I can to come, and I'm thinking, wow, if I could get a lot of people to come, show them how good I can be, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and blah, blah, blah. And then the Lord said, what are you doing? You can't do that. Your performance. But I want you to, you know, spread my word, share the word. So I had to repent, and I made a right turn, and we changed the whole thing up.
Amen.
I had like 9 parts, and today I have 27 parts. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Relax with that. I throw that name up there, John. I'm going to tell you, even when I put the name on Facebook, the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, look at this. It says, revealed. Ooh, not a mystery. Ooh. Talking about trying to draw people in. But, you know, I believe that the people who are here are meant to be here to hear this word today. So then an angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree, the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal nations. And that's Revelation 22, 1 and 2. This supernatural river with healing properties flows from the throne that needs to be released on the earth from the supernatural realm into the natural realm. We as individuals are the gateway through which the healing river is released. That means all of us that believe, of course.
Amen.
This is a great revelation coming to the body of Christ, that we already have access to everything we need to bring healing to the nations. And thus the message about what is being revealed, what has been revealed, and what will be revealed. So, the Lord asked me, or I asked the Lord, actually, and then he gave me an answer. The things revealed that have already been revealed is the path to revelation. And I have 2 questions for you. With spiritual exercise. Right now, we're going to do a little spiritual exercise. Everybody into that? A little bit of spiritual exercise before we get started? Just to set the tone, because, you know, there are angels here. Pastor Marie said there were angels, and there are angels here. And they are awesome angels. I don't know if you can see them, but I did. I saw them. And they are here to help us today. They're also writing down all the good news that we're speaking about the Lord today. And it's keeping it in a book of remembrance of the great things that the Lord has done. And how we remember it, you know, it's important. So it's what was revealed. The 2 questions, I want you to close your eyes and ask yourself these 2 questions. First question being, what Jesus asked his disciples, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I want you to think about that question for a minute. Put it in your mind. Meditate on it for a second. While you're doing that, the second question Jesus asked was, do you know me? And who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Do you know me? Let's see if we come up with an answer for that today. Take that deep breath, that Ruach, the Spirit. Let it work in you right now. Do you know me? Do you love me? Who do you say I am?
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior.
Hallelujah.
I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves.
Lord.
He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy.
Woo.
And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. You can't get him out of your mind.
Yes.
Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah. That's my king. That's my king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King of kings.
Thank you. Woo. Thank you, John. Can we give Jesus a shout right now? A little woo! Yeah, that's my king. So if you're wondering, do you know him? I think we do. It's been revealed to us in plain English. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that. And yet, if you notice, he said, I tried to describe him. He's indescribable. I can't describe him. He spent 3 minutes describing who Jesus is, and yet he can't describe him. Is that awesome? Now, I have to tell you that when you start on that path of knowing Jesus and not just speaking about him, but knowing him, because you need to know him to get to that point of revelation. What is revealed? You begin to worship Jesus as the Son of Man and the Son of God. In Revelation 1, worship and the excellency of Jesus Worship is a response to a revelation, and a pathway to deeper worship is more revelation of Jesus. And conversely, the more revelation of Jesus, the deeper the worship. Now, I call that the higher. In other words, when we go deeper, the connotation is going down into something, but I believe it's going up into something, into God, into the heaven. Paul gladly gave up everything as he saw as the magnificence or excellence of Jesus. And if we can see that vision from that platform, Pastor Roy always talks about the platform that we see things through. Well, if we can see it from that viewing platform, we would position our heart with more insight to Jesus' magnificence and to feel the power of it. And we have a scripture. You want to start those scriptures, John? I think we're ready for that. After John 4:3, we got that. In Philippians, it says, "I count all things lost for the excellence or the magnificence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Philippians 3:8. No aspect of God's grace more powerfully transforms our emotions, because we're in the natural world, or satisfies our heart than God revealing God to us. Here's God revealing God himself to us. Pastor Roy just spoke about that a couple of days, weeks ago. That God is actually revealing God to the human spirit. Some think of Jesus mostly in the terms of one who can heal or provide, directs us and blesses circumstances. And believe me, he does that. He can do all that. He does all that. But he's so much more. It is the inheritance of every believer to know the power and pleasure of being obsessed with Jesus' magnificence. This equips us to overcome temptation, endure persecution, and engage in partnership with the Lord and one another, of course, and God. The Spirit was given to us to be our escort into the deep things, and I say the higher things of God, into his heart. He knows more about Jesus than we could ever imagine. The Holy Spirit does. He will declare him to us and will reveal as much of him as we are hungry for. So if you want more,
amen,
get hungry.
Yeah. That's right.
I wish I could starve myself and just say, "Lord, I'm so hungry." He gives to us based on our hunger. He will not force feed us. I'm not going to force feed you. So I would just say, "Holy Spirit, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about Jesus and teach me about him." And in John 16, it says, "The Spirit will guide you, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Remember, the title is Revealed, not a mystery. If you read the Bible once, or twice, all these things have been revealed. And I believe Revelation is a culmination of all the Gospels. If you've read the four Gospels, you've really had a revelation. Because in it is the same thing that's in Revelation. You've got prophecy, you have miracles, you have Jesus in all the Gospels. And that's just my take on it. So, the Spirit searches the... I read that, okay. The Spirit is raising up those who will proclaim the riches of Jesus, and the most neglected subject in the kingdom of God himself is God himself. It is the glory of God to concern a to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out the matter. In Proverbs 1:5. Search it out. He'll show you what he'll show you himself. Jesus in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is called the Revelation of Jesus because, first, it reveals the majesty of his heart and leadership and the plan to transition history to the age to come. Second, it is the book about events that take place in the end time, his end time plan for the church, to purify the church and bring in the harvest, to replace all the evil governments and drive Satan right out. Get out. God's purpose in Revelation is to first to reveal the man behind the plan. Amen. Who is the man behind the plan? Anybody know? You don't have to Jesus is the man behind the plan. It's awesome. where are we? Here we go. Many only see the end time plan and they miss the plan and they miss the man. We only see the end time plan, but we miss Jesus. We miss it. He is the firstborn of all creation, and by him all things were created. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is, in all things, he may have the preeminence in Colossians 1:15 and 18. Amen. Reveal to us the great mysteries of God. Not to say that all the mysteries have been revealed, or at least we understand them. There are plenty more. And I think the more that's revealed, the more will need to be revealed. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end just because he shows himself one way. He's so magnificent that he will continue to show more and more as we go deeper or higher into the revelation, into what needs to be revealed, or what has been revealed. Like I said, if you've read the Bible, you got all the revelation you need. We must live by faith and not by fear, and mostly not by the fear of being frightened. The fear that will come upon us who are unprepared will be much worse, and therefore it will do us well to be experienced in the prophetic. The Spirit will reveal the prophetic, and the prophetic brings revelation to a specific level of understanding, so don't be afraid of that. What you get is what you got. What you got is what you get. 2 Peter 1:19 and 21 will tell you that. If we are unable to receive prophetic revelation, we will be in an increasingly dangerous place. Walking with the Lord in the Spirit is the most wonderful and exciting time that anyone who ever walked the earth could ever have or be blessed to experience. Just an awesome thing. Revelation came to John through such an experience and is to be expected to all that believe. That means you and us, me, right? All of us. Acts 2:17 and 18 says that as we get closer to the end of the age, these experiences will increase, and we will need this kind of direct, specific guidance that comes from these dreams, visions, and prophecies. They will come to the young, the old, the male, and the female, and every one of God's people. We need them. You're going to need them. Ask for them. How do we have these experiences, Pastor Roy? We ask for them. Pastor Roy has always, and Pastor Marie has always said, if you don't have, ask. And the reason you don't have is because you haven't asked. So we ask the Lord for them. The nature of the new creation is to become more at home in the spiritual realm than in the natural realm. Amen? Yeah. Mm. This is normal.
Amen. That's right.
It's normal. Because we are now born again of the Spirit, we are a new creation and a new species. I look different. We are not called to be a natural being that have I look taller, right? We're not called to be a natural being that have an occasional supernatural experience, but we are called to be a spiritual being that has an occasional natural experience. Did I say that right? You got that? Tongue twisting. This is to be a supernatural experience through the Holy Spirit, and in these experiences, the spiritual realm becomes more real than the natural realm. In 2 Kings 6 and 17 is where Elijah's servant saw the angelic forces of heaven that stood there with them. And just as the prophet prayed, let his eyes be open so he can see. What is revealed here is a supernatural experience through the Holy Spirit, seeing and hearing, but more importantly, listening. And the spiritual is then revealed through the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. Our helper. He'll help you see. He'll help you listen. It says, I was in the Spirit of on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a sound of a trumpet. Revelation 1:10. Being in the Spirit is being in a supernatural experience through the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Being in the Spirit is being in a supernatural experience through the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, do not fear or be afraid. The fear experienced in the supernatural spiritual realm is intense. You can count on that. And it's wonderful at the same time. More importantly, it can help us live the reality of the one that we serve. The reverent fear of the Lord that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge. It is the starting point at its essence. Proverbs 1:7 in the Amplified. And now I'm just going to get started. Everybody okay? You all right? I just have to thank Pastor Ray Marie. Thank you so much. I can't. Just thank you. In the 73rd Psalm, the psalmist Asaph expressed a struggle that we might all feel at times. He questioned why. He said, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you, in verses 21 and 22 of the 73rd Psalm. God alone was his salvation, and his relationship with God was his strength. He wrote, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In verses 23 and 26. In verse 28, he wrote, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. He didn't say it's my bad. He said it's my good. My bad. My good. The truth is, once and for all, that it is the nearness of God that produces our good. Christianity was never designed by God to be sustained by nice people trying to appear good. We're just not good enough. Don't have it. Ain't going to happen. Our flesh has the same carnal passions as do people in the world. Hard to believe? Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're further along the line. We have the same passion as people do in the world. And our soul carries within the same insecurities and fear. Anybody been there? Have you been there? Been there, right? Thus, apart from the influence of Christ in us, there's no difference between Christians and non-Christians, with one exception. And I say this jokingly. Except that Christians living separate from God's presence, we tend to be a little bit more obnoxious. Right? So, oh, you don't need Jesus? How dare you? Don't even talk to me. It's only our relationship with the Lord that keeps us from fulfilling the lusts and desires of the flesh. Let me repeat that. It's only our relationship with the Lord that keeps us from fulfilling the lusts and desires of the flesh. For apart from him, we can do nothing. Thank you. John 15:5. That's where that was. His influence rules over all of our priorities, or at least they should. He inspires love in our relationships. His voice becomes the conviction in our integrity. Yes. God has made Christ Jesus to be to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Colossians 1:30. Thus, you, the God seeker, desires to find the Lord's pleasure, drawn to every aspect of our soul. He also knows that should an area of his heart exist in isolation from God, and we all have that little isolation, that part we save just for us, you know, nobody gets in there. He also knows that area will remain vulnerable to manipulation by the enemy in that area. Amen. So let me underscore the psalmist's truths. And let us say with our own voice of conviction, it is the nearness of God that is our good. Can you say that? Yeah. It is the nearness of God that is our good. Amen. God, you are the lover of my soul. Faithfully have you extended your hands toward me. Yet I have been at times a drifter and distant. Master God, Lord Jesus, this day I acknowledge my most wonderful times are those spent close to you. When my heart is near you, I am partaking of the nectar of life itself, which is in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. I like that. Now, this is an interesting part here that I was working on when I was lying in the hospital bed. And just bear with me, please. People basically are told that the Gospels are well past their due date. Have you heard that? Yeah, I've heard that. But while they are muttering their unbelief, God is granting innumerable healings. Yes. With signs, wonders, and miracles, and saving millions of souls. Yes. And never in history has it been so evident that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, risen from the dead. No hallelujah there?
Hallelujah.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Woo! He's working.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
It's like, well,
dead.
Yeah, well, all right, we know that. Tell something different. A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Amen.
Give me something I don't know. But you see, this is what I'm saying. It's been revealed to us already, and we should be walking so highly in this,
right.
Not acting high, not being better than, but knowing it without a doubt. You know, I'm guilty of it, too. I'm not saying that I'm there, but, you know, we, meh. Pastor Marie, Now listen, science has had its say, and it left us orphans in a fatherless universe. Bible criticism has had its say and left us adrift without a chart or a compass. Philosophy has had its say and left us in a meaningless existence. Psychology has had its say and left us trapped in a mental prison. And then all of a sudden, a breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
A breakthrough.
Amen.
Woo! Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
hallelujah.
I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Can you hear him knocking? Are you listening? It is Jesus, the Savior of the world, ready to do his work in you.
Yes.
Let him in.
Amen.
God bless you, right? Amen. Moving right along. Anybody bored yet? You tired? Are you getting this?
Yep. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad you're getting it because you already know it. It's not like I'm telling you something new. You've heard this time and time again. You've been in church longer than a year. You've got to know this. Revelation is not meant to be a mystery, but to be understood. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
Revelation is not meant to be a mystery.
Right.
Pastor Roy always speaks about around those Easter hunting egg things, where do you hide it so that your children can't find it? That's what he said. No, you hide it so that it's easy to find. So it's not really a mystery. God does the same thing. He puts his little gold nuggets around somewhere, and all you got to do is look for it. And you'll stumble over them half the time. You know, it's like, oh, what was it? Oh, a gold nugget. Look at that.
Amen.
Actually, the word revelation means what is revealed and not what is hidden.
Yeah.
just its own definition. He, God the Father, made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure, to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ in Ephesians 1:9. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ, period. Period. That's it.
Yes.
Nothing more. You're seeing more in the book of Revelation, you're missing the man behind the plan. Now, I believe in the Bible there's a very important verse, and that is Colossians 1:16-17. And it says this, "For by him all things were created in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together."
Yep.
All things are made through him and for him, all things are held together by him. No longer a mystery. And not hidden at all. It's our Savior Jesus Christ. He is revealed, if we can see from that perspective, from that viewing platform, that all things work toward the ultimate purpose of God, the summing up of all things in his Son Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Whew.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Mm.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hallelujah!
Out of the mouth of babes. Thank you, Jesus. You're welcome. To understand our own lives, we must see that everything in our life was allowed to lead us to the Son and to have our life summed up in him. All things are revealed when Jesus is the lens we look through to understand anything and everything. Anything and everything. Even a key to understand the time today is to stay focused on Jesus. What is Jesus doing? The unfolding of events is to understand the work of God. In the midst of all the evil, now listen, in the midst of all the evil that you see today, the city of God is being built. Do you believe that?
Yes,
in the midst of all the evil that we hear and see every day, bombarded with, the city of God is being built.
Amen.
That's our God. I mean, that's, how do you do that? So we keep our attention more on him than we do on the Antichrist.
That's right.
And on all the evils that come along with it. Amen. Remember that there was a third of the angels fell from grace. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of spirit out there, not just the Holy Spirit, and certainly not the Spirit of God. When we are focused on Jesus, even these things will work toward a greater revelation of Jesus. How? By revealing the depth of the depravity of fallen men, exposing the depth of our need for a Savior. Amen?
Yes.
Do we need a Savior? Do we have a Savior? We have one. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
The entire history of man on the earth will be one of the greatest revelations of God and the power of God. His grace, his mercy, his goodness. And this is a big one, the power of his love over death. That's an awesome revelation of God. Awesome. Staying focused on Jesus will reveal the ultimate purposes of God in Christ that is revealed. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. All things in him. Only another 100 pages, okay, so hang in there. Take a break, you can take a break. Now this is a little bit of a judgment. I don't mean to judge anybody, or certainly not to, but it just became apparent. And I wanted to share this with you, take it with a grain of salt. One of the great errors, and I believe it is an error in the church, is to limit the expectation of our faith to what God did in the previous generations.
Right.
We stopped at what he did. Don't think he's creating anymore, but he is. It's not wrong to want what the other people had, especially in the previous generations. But God actually has more for us than what occurred in the past years. Indeed, many promises concerning the church are yet to be fulfilled. Right? And that's going to happen before Jesus returns. Now, that's my opinion. The Bible tells us that the church will not only experience perilous times in the last days, and you'll see that in 2 Timothy 3:1. But the good news is that you're also going to see seasons of renewal and restoration.
That's
right. In Acts 3:21. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So consequently, in the midst of the worldwide conflicts, the kingdom of God on earth will continue to be restored and renewed until it is conformed to the kingdom of God in heaven.
Thank
Plan on seeing new harvests and expressions of God's glory and power. We should expect to see wonders that our fathers did not see in the previous eras. Acts 2, 19 and 21. Yes,
right.
And let us also trust that the promises we fail to possess, our children will walk in.
Right.
And you can take that to the bank. I think there are like two lessons in that. First lesson would be that everyone who desires to see the awesome promises of God fulfilled, the Lord is saying to us all, don't be conditioned by the past.
Right.
Just because you have not seen the manifest power of glory over your church or your city or your nation, do not take that as a forerunner of things to come. God can change everything in a twinkle of an eye. And he did for me, I'll be honest. You know my story, you know. One minute I was one way, and the very next second I was completely healed and changed. The second lesson in this is it probably won't be evil or the devil himself who comes out to defeat you. Probably not. It may, but probably not. But we must guard ourselves against the misguided advice of unbelieving Christians. And I promise I can repent if that is incorrect. I will definitely fall flat on my knees, on my face. But if we follow those misguided advice of unbelieving Christians, remember, and this is from the Bible, the taunt that the Jebusites went through was that the blind and the lame shall turn you away. I don't know if you're familiar with that scripture. It's in 2 Samuel 5:6. That the blind and the lame will turn you away. David was trying to conquer the city. And the taunt was that you, even the blind and the lame, you know, you have no chance of taking over the city. We may stand firm in faith against the spiritual host of wickedness, only to be defeated by the spiritually blind and lame. Sitting right next to you sometimes in church, right there. Who are the blind? Who are they? They are the ones who do not see the vision. They are the blind to the faith future that God has put in our heart. He made it plain. He revealed it to us in Scripture and in Revelation. We cannot let the people or these people who do not see the vision become our counselors.
Nope.
Beware of becoming sympathetic even toward the spiritually blind, because a little leaven of their unbelief can undermine your faith in the time of battle. See, it's not just when we're hanging out together. Sure, we're like, oh, let's fellowship. You know, it's nice, right? But when the battle begins, and believe me, we're in the battle all the time. It can undermine your faith. A little whisper here and a little whisper there, right? Along with the spiritually blind are the emotionally lame. And we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about, you know, in the spirit. These are people who have stumbled over something or someone in the past, and they no longer walk stride by stride with Jesus. Beware of sharing your dreams with your cynics, with these cynics. If we heed the warnings of the lame, it will only be a matter of time before their woundedness and lack of grace depletes our strength, and then we too will become overly cautious and suspicious. We will become like them because our focus is on them and not on God, right? Pastor Roy and Marie have always said, you become what you behold. Although we need counsel from other Christians, we must remain forgiving and kind towards those in opposition. We cannot allow the words of the spiritually blind and the emotionally lame to guide us. Of course, our real enemies are the spiritual forces of wickedness, and they influence our communities, and not those suffering from physical problems. Jesus certainly can heal us, but the fact is, just like the Jebusites, Satan has watched the failures of many Christians before us. And you might be able to sense that the devil's scorn as pastors and intercessors Pray for citywide or national revival. He's laughing at him. But God's laughing at him. The devil's torrents are not without substance. For generally speaking, our spiritual forebears have failed in dislodging the strongholds. They failed at dislodging the strongholds of wickedness from their cities. And history is on the adversary side when it comes to that. We've got our work cut out for us. The battle has just begun for us. But here's the good news. Now that I brought everybody down with that one, let's lift you up. God has given us his unalterable, immutable word. He promises. For the vision or revelation or what is to be revealed is yet for the appointed time. Amen. It hastens toward the goal. Excuse me. And it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4. To live by faith is to believe God until the vision he gave comes to pass. David believed God, and in spite of history being on the side of the Jebusites, we can read this. Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion. 2 Samuel 5, 7.
Amen.
Nevertheless,
amen.
Don't matter. I'm almost finished, but... And I mean that. This is a revealed extra. It's a little extra. A little salt and pepper on the seasoning of it all. What is it?
Garlic?
No? Okay, it's garlic. It's the mountain of fear and the mountain of joy. In Hebrews 12, 18 and 24, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that, I'll say it again, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, to gloom, to storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what has been commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. That's why Jesus had to come, right? He had to come to change that. But the good news, you have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes, Lord.
To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's in Hebrews 12. Revelation, now remember, is a spirit. It's the spirit of revelation. Ephesians 1:17 says that. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, so that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. Boom.
Amen.
I'm done. I'm serious. I'm done. Boom. That he may give you the spirit of revelation.
Hallelujah.
That you may know him better.
Amen.
Lord, we want to know you better.
More. Yes, Lord, we want to know you more.
More, more, more.
More.
Now, I have to tell you, there's a lot of scripture there, and there's a lot of reading, and I think Pastor Roy and Maria are also going to give me a second time next month, hopefully sometime if you have room for me on the calendar. Really? There's more? Yeah. And I did have some supporting scripture. Johnny, did you put that up there? You did? Oh, you already did the supporting scriptures? Okay. Second Peter and, you know, and Revelation. Okay. So pretty much that's it. I'm done. Thank you. There was one other thought. Some people say, you know, why do you read Revelation? You know, and some other people say, well, that's in the Bible, right? So how many people have a favorite Bible verse? You have a favorite Bible verse? Okay, you can raise your hand. You have a favorite Bible? Does anyone have this one as your favorite? You have a couple? In Mark, it says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. Anyone have that one? How about this one? And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. Anybody got that one as your favorite scripture? It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And finally, does anyone have this one? If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown in hell.
Amen.
Every scripture should be your favorite scripture.
Right.
That is not a literal scripture. That is something that's happening in the spiritual realm. And you have to get that. It's being revealed that scripture is actually a great scripture to have as a favorite scripture. Because it's guiding us through something that we have no clue of, no knowledge of in our life. So I thank you for being. Thank you for coming. And thank you, Pastor Roy Marie. And that's all I'm going to say.